Christian, mother, wife, Air Force veteran, gun rights advocate.
This is Stacy on the Right. Here's your host, Stacy Washington.
And we're back. And so important for us to have accurate information surrounding mass shootings, gun violence, as the left likes to call it, and especially accurate information having to do with what the proper solutions are when these things occur. And so that's why it's amazing for us as a show to have access to the expertise of Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association. Their website is nationalpolice.org, nationalpolice.org. Sergeant Smith, thank you for coming on tonight.
Hey, thanks, Stacy, for having me back, and happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, Betsy. It's a great day. I was like, oh, it's not bad. It rained here today, but it was still 59. So I was like, okay, I'll take the 59 degrees, even though it's rainy and,
right.
And very windy. So, you know, that aside, there was this shooting at Michigan State. They've named a suspect. Of course, the suspect, I believe, shot himself when confronted by the police, so
he
we
did.
Won't get justice there. But tell us what we know and what we don't know about this story.
So Anthony McRae is a 43-year-old man who lived in the city next to Michigan State University. Michigan State's in East Lansing. He lived in Lansing, which is the state capital. Inexplicably, he came to the campus last night about 8:30 and just started to randomly shoot people on campus. He went to multiple locations. Unfortunately, three students were killed. Five others were critically wounded. And then he went several miles from campus, and before police could find him, he shot and killed himself. And I, you know, for people who were watching last night, watching this live, you saw an extraordinary regional police response to campus. I mean, you know, it wasn't just campus police and the city police that responded, but, you know, state, county, other local police responded to this incident. You know, and unfortunately, the campus is a gun-free zone. So the students had to, they were told to run, hide, or fight as a last resort. And but now we're learning a lot more about Anthony McRae and, of course, his criminal past. And the, you know, so we can talk about that because there's a prosecutor, of course, involved that had she done her job, Anthony McRae might have been in prison instead of committing this horrible mass shooting.
Oh, no. Sergeant Betsy, how dare we discuss actual indicators, actual salient facts that impact the story? We're supposed to just be talking about the big old mean, scary black gun that he used.
Well, and that's exactly what Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, and President Joe Biden did last night. I mean, it was, I think it was less than 2 hours before the governor started to politicize this and talk about, oh, we need more gun laws and this and that. Had the prosecutor who was involved in Mr. McRae's case in 2019 done her job and followed the gun laws that Michigan already has on the books, this shooting may not have happened. In 2019, Anthony McRae was contacted by a police officer doing some proactive policing. He did what you keep hearing about is a bad thing to do, stop and frisk. This police officer stopped him, asked him what he was doing, asked him, do you have a gun on you? He said, I do. The police officer searched him. He came out with a loaded firearm. He also had a loaded magazine. He was in a high crime area. And he admitted, yeah, this is my gun. And so he was arrested. He was charged with having a firearm without a permit. He was also charged with having a loaded firearm in a vehicle. And he was charged with a felony. But there were, at the time, there was a George Soros-installed county prosecutor, Carol Seaman, in Ingham County, and she let him plead to a misdemeanor instead of a felony. And that felony would have had a potential 5-year prison sentence. But he got to plead guilty to a misdemeanor. He did about a year and a half of probation, and because he was only because he's not a convicted felon, he was able to buy another firearm. And as we look at Carol Seaman, the prosecutor who just retired in December, when we look at her track record, we find out this is her thing. This is her jam. She wants to give criminals that second chance. She actually let out, and this caused a great stir in the county to the point where the police chief kind of gathered together and put a lot of pressure on her. She let a guy who had been arrested for beating two women to death. He was a parolee on parole for, of course, domestic violence. He beat two women to death. He was going to beat two others to death. He admitted, but he got arrested first. She let him plead that case down to a lesser murder charge because she said he deserved to better himself. This is the kind of prosecutor that we're dealing with. Now, she got so much pressure from the community and from the police chiefs in the area that she did retire before the end of her term. She retired in December. But now people, and including those students last night, are paying the price for her woke politics and her criminal justice reform that is very misguided.
Yeah, and it makes me wish awful things that I can't share on this program, that she would let someone who beat two women to death, he needs an opportunity to better himself. What about the two women who were beaten to death? Where's their opportunity? I don't hear her saying anything about the victims of these horrible criminals that she's coddling.
Correct. When she got elected, she'd been in the prosecutor's office for years. You know, she was an attorney. And when she got elected, that's what one of the things she said was, I'm gonna help domestic violence victims. But then she also said, you know, I'm going to help reform our criminal justice system. People of color don't get a fair shake, et cetera, et cetera. And so Anthony McRae, who is a 43-year-old, and again, we're none of us are shocked, but we all hear the same thing. He was estranged from his family. He suffered from mental illness. He was called evil by his own father. And, you know, he doesn't come from a poverty-stricken, broken family. We always hear that. He had a mother and father. He has a sister and brother, both who gave interviews today. They were very devastated. His mom died 2 years ago, and that was, his father says, kind of the breaking point for him. But he would travel around the country, Mr. McRae, who had lived in various homeless shelters. You know, he never really received mental health assistance, and he lived in a little house near the airport there in Lansing, Michigan, and he would walk out the back door and shoot his guns off. But he never got arrested, he never got assistance, and he finally apparently snapped last night and decided, again, we don't yet know why, decided to go to Michigan State. And again, Michigan State, who last year had the Black Lives Matter logo on their helmets on the football team, because they're a very woke university, their campus is a gun-free zone. So none of those students could protect themselves. They just had to either run, hide, or fight, and of course wait for law enforcement, who did run toward the shots and rescue students. But again, three died and then five are in critical condition.
So imagine what could have happened, Sergeant Betsy, if someone on campus, because if it's not a gun-free zone, then you have people who are concealed carry certified, they're trained, they're going to have their firearms with them on their person for their own personal safety. And if you see somebody just randomly shooting people, you can use your firearm to put the shooter down. Lives could have been saved.
Right. A couple hours down the road, I've been to both of these campuses. I've been to Michigan State many times. A couple hours down the road is a college you're probably familiar with called Hillsdale University. On Hill, it's a private college, conservative Christian and Judeo-Christian values. Those students are allowed. They have a beautiful shooting sports facility on the campus of Hillsdale College. I've had the privilege of using that facility. And on that campus, if you followed the laws of the state of Michigan and the rules of the campus, you can indeed exercise your Second Amendment rights and carry a legal firearm so that if a situation like what happened last night on the Michigan State campus happened on Hillsdale College, there would be students who would be able to protect themselves. And it's so unfortunate that the only option those students had last night was to run, hide, or fight. And by fight, you're fighting as an unarmed person against a guy with a semi-automatic handgun. It's unthinkable.
It's so angering. Between the prosecutor and the gun laws, you don't stand a chance.
Well, it's so true. And there's so many classes out there that people can take to learn what to do in an active shooter situation. And of course, there was lots of talk last night and today. There's all these mass shootings that we seem to be seeing, but nobody wants to talk about, again, like you said, they want to talk about the gun. We are now living in a bizarre world where religion is bad, authority is bad, rules are bad, the police are bad. There's no social norms, no rules, just your feelings. So, of course, men like Anthony McRae, narcissistic, isolated, no resilience, no ability to deal with the death of his mother, told that he's a victim, he's able to travel city to city to just live in homeless shelters, even though he has family, he has people that would take care of him. And again, he's 43 years old, he's got a work history, he's worked in the past. This guy is, like so many of these other mass shooters that we hear about. And we don't seem to have the intestinal fortitude as a nation to really talk about why these mass shootings are occurring beyond, we need to get rid of the guns. And it's I hope people are getting tired of it. I hope they're getting tired of these situations being politicized. I don't know if you saw, Stacey, but two of the kids on campus last night, one was 11 years old and going to Sandy Hook Elementary School when there was a mass shooting there. And another one of the kids was a student at Oxford High School in Michigan, I think it was about 15, 16 months ago, when they had a mass shooting there. So you've got these kids that are twice victimized by these situations, and all people can do is to seem to talk about the guns and politics. We got to go beyond that.
Absolutely. It's so sad to hear that the children have been victimized more than one time because of dumb Democrat gun laws. I wanted to get your take on, and our listeners have not heard this audio. I know you heard her speak about this, but it's Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and she had a press conference talking about the shooting at Michigan State University. I wanted to get your take on what she said here. Let's take a listen. It's cut three.
President Biden and I spoke last night. He pledged his support and the thoughts of an entire nation. We will work together to do what is necessary to help MSU community heal. We're all broken by an all too familiar feeling. Another place that is supposed to be about community and togetherness, shattered by bullets and bloodshed. We know this is a uniquely American problem. Today is the fifth anniversary of the Parkland shooting. We're mere weeks past the Lunar New Year shooting at a dance hall, and a few months past a shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde. And looking back at a year marked by shootings at grocery stores, parades, and so many other ordinary, everyday situations, we cannot keep living like this. Our children are scared to go to school. People feel unsafe in their houses of worship or local stores. Too many of us scan rooms for exits when we enter them. And many of us have gone through the grim exercise of figuring out who our last call would be to.
So I'll just say, before you go at it, you should actually find all of the available exits when you enter a building, because that's good situational awareness that has nothing to do with the proliferation of mass shootings across the country. Just be situationally aware for your own. Unbelievable. She's a fear monger.
Well, she is. And, you know, remember her career, basically, you know, she got her political notoriety fear mongering about COVID. You know, she was one of the absolute most insane political leaders when it came to COVID-19 lockdowns and things like that. But when I heard this audio the first time, I was really struck where she talked about community and togetherness. There is nothing further from Gretchen Whitmer's mind than community and togetherness. You know, she is truly one of the most divisive governors in this country. She doesn't care about community or togetherness. She constantly derides conservatives and talks badly about half of the people in her state. You know, she very nearly wasn't reelected. And let's go back to her election. Remember, there was a chief of police running, the Detroit police, Chief Craig, was the front runner running as the Republican for the Michigan governor. And at the very last minute, and I want people, if they're not familiar with this, to look it up, but there were some Democrat shenanigans that happened, and a little bit of Republican shenanigans, too. And all the top front runners on the Republican side had to drop out of that race. Had Chief Craig been the Republican candidate for Governor Gretchen, we wouldn't have to listen to Gretchen Whitmer talk anymore. But she is, first of all, she's not bright. She doesn't know much about firearms. She doesn't seem to know much about the history, the great history of her state. Michigan is some of the most beautiful outdoors land, hunting and fishing in this nation. Mm-hmm. And people really revere their Second Amendment rights in Michigan. But, you know, she immediately put in that call to Joe Biden and had to politicize this shooting and, of course, bring up Parkland that happened in Florida, not in her state. And I think that she will continue to use this to continue to try and take away the Second Amendment rights of the people of Michigan. And I hope they don't let her get away with it.
I hope not either. And in any case, it's easy to see what she's up to if you just listen to her. That was an emotional ploy. It was about her voice, her intonality, not about the things she was saying. It was about her ignoring the root cause of this shooting and others. It was about her ignoring the poor response in some of the other shootings that she's, you know, kind of using, taking the grief of people who've been victimized and weaponizing it for political aims. I mean, you just can't create a soap opera or nighttime TV show in which there's a bigger villain than Joe Biden and Gretchen Whitmer when it comes to their obsession with disarming law-abiding Americans.
Well, you're absolutely right. And both of them tend to be very anti-law enforcement. Just yesterday or day before yesterday, Joe Biden was tweeting about, every police officer has a right to return home safely at night, but so does everybody else. So we need police reform. We need to hold law enforcement accountable. We need to do all these things. Congress has to act. Is he still trying to get the George Floyd Policing Act passed so that he can inexplicably, again, hamstring his own federal agents, except for the federal agents, A, that protect him, and the ones that he wants to weaponize. So he's very anti-cop. She's very anti-cop. And I didn't hear a lot of praise from either of them about the law enforcement response last night on the Michigan State campus. Those officers were there incredibly quickly. They were absolutely everywhere. It was an amazing coordinated team effort for these police officers to go to a campus where they're not always terribly welcome. And you know, I would have liked to hear more from Joe Biden and Gretchen Whitmer in praising those law enforcement officers who responded last night. and do every single day in this country.
Yep, absolutely. And for them to go ahead and acknowledge that the reason they're now saying everyone has a right to return home at night is because their policies are making America's cities so dangerous that average everyday citizens have the same fear of not returning home from the grocery store or work as police officers have when they leave to do their very dangerous and volatile professions. So, you know, he might have actually been saying that because it's an acknowledgement that life is more dangerous for everyone now because the police have been disempowered and defunded and made the villains in stories where they are often more than likely the hero.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And again, we have got to go back to why wasn't this shooter, why wasn't Anthony McRae in prison where he belonged? And this is, we're never going to hear this from, you know, anyone in the political class. And we're also never going to hear about why Anthony McRae felt so isolated, so broken, why his own father called him evil. His own father, both of his siblings said the same thing. He was just a bad guy. And then he became even more broken after his mother. We need to get a handle on why we're not putting criminals in prison, felons, and why we're not locking up dangerously mentally ill people until they can be helped or until they can be returned to society. We are sacrificing people, for example, those students last night, for this ridiculous criminal justice reform that we know now, 2.5 years later, doesn't work and endangers this nation.
Yep. That's sums it all up neatly. And unfortunately, and the only way it changes is if we stand up to them and we never again allow them to defund another police department and we hold them accountable for the fact that more people are dying due to crime by repeat offenders who are being released out onto the streets by Democrat prosecutors. This is happening more frequently because we're allowing them to be in charge. You never allow a moron to assume a position of authority over you. We've got to get these people out. The website is National Police Association, nationalpolice.org, nationalpolice.org. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, thank you for joining us on this tough topic.
Stacey, great to be with you again. Thanks so much.